You're listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network, now the largest new media platform on the web and your number one source for after-show entertainment. Very good,
The AfterBuzz Studios in Los Angeles, California. Presented by Maria Menounos and streaming live thanks to Akamai Technologies. This is AfterBuzz TV's Bates Motel After Show. We'll break down tonight's episode and get you all the latest news and gossip. And now, another post-game wrap-up show for your favorite TV show. It's AfterBuzz TV's Bates Motel After Show.
Yeah. Mother.
Mother.
John right. Lennon.
Mother.
Welcome to the Bates Motel After Buzz After Show. The song you hear is Mother by John Lennon. I said that already, didn't I?
I feel like we're going in circles.
I'm Joe Braswell. Welcome to the Bates Motel. I'm Joe Braswell. I'm happy to be back. I'm happy to be here. Even though you were throwing me under all kinds of buses on every show.
What, when you were debauching the good people of Denver?
I was not.
On your work trip?
I did. How was Denver?
Denver was fantastic.
Did you bring me back some weed?
I did not bring you back any weed.
Bringing it across state lines makes it a felony, I think.
Nor was there any weed consumed, because I did not partake in that.
No. I'm Joe Brands. Whatever.
But I did drink a lot of alcohol.
He did most of it. And Denver has a lot.
It does. It's a good beer.
There's some. I did some Instagram photos. If you care to look at my Instagram, Joe Sample.
I don't care to look at your Instagram. How about that?
But who cares about me?
But you put your Instagrams back on. I don't want to see them.
Do it, Casey. Good to see you. How are you?
I'm good. How are you? This is me.
This is you.
I'm here. I'm ready to talk about the show.
Joined by you. We're also joined by Joe Sanfilippo.
Nice to see you guys.
Uncle Flippo.
Uncle Flippo.
Yes.
Oh, is that what the kids are calling you now?
That's what the ladies call him.
Sad Uncle Flippo. There was a hippo on Blacklist that ended up being instrumental, and it was called Uncle Flippo. And so we thought, Uncle Flippo, I'm finally relevant.
Flippo the hippo. We're also not joined by Nando Velasquez.
We're not.
Oh, he was going to call in, but we didn't call him.
So. We're bad people.
What's the number?
I don't know. Marissa, do you have Nando's number? Can you call Nando? Maybe see if
sure.
he wants to call in?
Sure.
All right, we'll get on that.
We'll see if Nando wants to call in. Although, you text him up, tell him that.
He's too good to come on location.
We should probably sort all this out before we start the show.
That's maybe one way to look at it.
But the show's rolling.
All right, here we go.
Welcome to the Bates Motel After Buzz After Show. I'm Joe Braswell. I'm joined by Joseph. The song he heard was John Lennon's Mother.
All right, here we go.
All right, so it was a fantastic, fantastic episode as usual. Actually, better than normal.
Yeah.
Better than ever. Like, we had a lot of revelations here. We had, we got to the bottom, or kind of almost really. Well, maybe we didn't get to the bottom of the whole Caleb Norma.
I don't think
Dylan
we're at the bottom
situation.
Of it.
We don't know what's what.
Nope.
You don't know who's where and what's what.
Nope.
But we know something happened. We saw Norma out on a lovely date. Mm-hmm. We saw Emma in a compromising position waking up.
Mm-hmm.
Good for Emma, by the way.
I mean, she's, what do you mean good for Emma? You're pro teenagers having premarital sex?
If you're going to die in the next couple of years, yes.
she's going to die.
She was definitely the lighthearted storyline that kind of balanced this whole episode out.
It was sweet.
Yeah, everything was very dark, but then Emma's storyline kind of like losing her virginity the first time, but she didn't lose it. She was very adorable.
I got to ask, my man,
Cupcake Boy?
Double Puka Shell Dude?
Yeah.
Like, so I don't know. Is that guy hot? I don't know.
He's a little bit young for me.
I mean, he thinks he's hot.
I think that he's cute for Emma. I think that they'd make a really cute couple.
Okay. That's true.
You know, I wouldn't want him taking me out on a date.
Be a little on the creepy
tip. He reminds me of Joe Sanfilippo about 16 years ago.
No, what's unfortunate is would be the incredibly large hair that there was no product at the time to come down, and the glasses and the braces. Yeah. So, no, in no way.
But not the one. He went with the double puka shell.
I never rocked the puka shells.
The double puka shell is a good
never,
look.
I never even put on a single.
One's tight like a choker.
Yeah, I understand what you're saying. I watched the show.
All right.
But I'm saying that I've never worn puka shells in my life.
So we had that situation happen. We'll touch on that. And then, but more importantly, then we had the big confrontation, you know, with... with Dylan and maybe his father Caleb, and another confrontation with Norman and Caleb, which was awesome.
Mm-hmm.
Which was a very, very revealing confrontation where we saw Norman go full-blown Norman.
We haven't seen that before.
Well, we haven't seen Norman, you know, do what we know he does, which is assume the identity of his mother, which was really freaky.
It was really exciting. I liked it a lot.
It was really cool.
That was a first timer for us to that was deep. Yeah.
And we also have
He seemed to have knowledge of things that he ought not to have had knowledge of.
Well, no, he heard all that. That was when he heard all that.
Oh, yeah, he heard all through the door. That's true.
Yeah. So and he turned around and used it like, oh, okay, you know.
I have a weird question about this. I wasn't going to bring it up now, but since we're talking about
bring it up.
I'm going to bring it up. Okay. So,
Dua has a question about this. She's going to bring it up now.
Right. I want you guys to stay with me here because I'm going to go through some things. So, Norman is looking up the hotels online. Do you remember this?
Yes.
When he's
at
the Bates Motel, he's looking up the hotels. It's enough that Emma brings it to light. Why are you looking up hotels?
And he does this great job of lying. Nothing.
Yeah.
I'm Norman. Yeah. Everything's fine.
Yeah. So we know in the scene before, the scene right before, that they're laying on the bed and that she's saying how she went to the hotel, but she didn't have the strength to go up to him. She wanted to say that she wasn't scared of him anymore. And she being Norma, of course, talking to Caleb. My question to you is, everything we know that Norman blacks out, we know that he does these things and he doesn't remember and he has no recollection of these bad things that he does.
Right.
What was he looking at the hotel for? What was it like? He wasn't planning. He wasn't like, I'm going to go to the hotel and I'm going to plan to be my mother and confront Caleb. Like, what was his intention? Because it's almost like premeditation, which kind of contradicts everything up to this point.
Okay, so I think that's a good one. So two separate things for me. So I think that he was genuinely the conscious Norman as we know him, as Norman who's trying to protect his mother.
Uh-huh.
He, like, wants to do something. Now, whether he wants to go and kill the guy, whether he wants to go and do something, he wants to protect his mother.
Mm-hmm.
Like, so there's the piece of him that, like, I won't, like he says, I won't let anything happen to you, mother, and that wonderful, very normal spooning scene. We all spoon our mothers.
Yeah. If you're uncomfortable with that, you're just a Nazi.
I mean, it's a mother and son having a moment. Whispering each other's ear.
Oh, God.
It's going to be okay, mother.
Yeah. That was a long, lingering kiss, by the way.
And the kiss was a little too long.
So bad.
And Norma's eyes closed for a long time.
Mm-hmm. How excited do you think Freddie Highmore gets to be he's like the ultimate cougar Vera Farmiga.
I mean, that's a good...
If he's a talent whore, like it turns out I am, I mean, Vera is... I mean, not only is she gorgeous, she's so damn good.
Wait, mm-hmm. you like Vera Farmiga, Joe?
I may have mentioned in the past that I think Vera Farmiga kills it on this. Have I mentioned?
I don't remember.
I feel like I might
maybe
not
in
have.
Passing.
Maybe I haven't.
Maybe in
I
passing.
Feel like Vera Farmiga kills it on this show.
All right. Well, so to answer your question, I think
she wins acting.
There's two things. I think that what we know about Norman, he as Norman Bates is actually going to protect his mother, and he like you said, he wants to, you know, be there for her. So I think he's looking to find Caleb because he's going to do something. But then there's the psychotic break Norman Bates that wants to kill people and mm-hmm. assume the identity of his mother. So I think both things can be true.
Mm-hmm.
I think he can go and like, I'm going to go give this guy a piece of my mind, and then gets there and blacks out and wants to like start stabbing people with scissors. So that's kind of my theory there. I don't know. Joe, what do you think?
Well, he brought the scissors with him. He had the scissors. So some part of this is premeditated.
But I think he rolled in there as Norma, though.
You think he went the whole way as Norma?
I think he must have if he had the scissors.
Yeah, and
it's almost like he turned into Norma in the chair, though. Because he pushed him and he sat down and he blacks out when he gets angry or there's always something that kind of triggers him. That's just part of these things that aren't connecting for me. Because at the very beginning, I thought that Cody was a figment of his imagination and that Cody was never there when they went to the hotel. Because I thought it was a little odd that Cody is now...
I like that Cody.
Yeah, well, she's enabling him to do all of the things that he already wants to do, but he doesn't have the guts to do. And I was like, this is a little bit too convenient. I'll drive you. Let's go scare the crap.
Oh, you thought it was maybe some Fight Club,
I thought it was, I thought it was a little bit of Tyler Durden in there.
Tyler Durden.
We thought that in season one about...
Bradley.
About Bradley, but it turned out they actually did do it. So, anyway, but I don't...
Yeah, we had a lot of discussions, actually, about what was real and what wasn't real right around, like, episode 4 and 5.
Right.
Ish. And so I thought that it was, you know, I thought that it was not real. But I guess it was... I don't know. I just think it's very, very weird. There's a lot of things that aren't connecting for me there. I love that he turned into his mother, like, full-fledged, like, and when you raped
me.
Oh,
yeah. It was the whole thing. That was great.
What was Caleb thinking there? He's like, this kid
is he's
crazy.
Like, I'm going to kick this kid in the ribs. I don't know what
this
kid's doing.
Of course this is Norma's kid. He's freaking bananas.
Yeah. You know, I think on the phone we have Nando Velasquez. Are you there, Nando?
Yes, you do.
How you doing, sir?
Can you hear me?
Where are you calling from? The bottom of the well?
I know. Are you calling from space? Where are you calling from?
The stairwell in Hollywood, California.
All right.
The stairwell. If you've not been to the stairwell, it's where all the stuff is happening.
The hottest bar in Hollywood.
It's called the stairwell.
The stairwell.
No sign. Of course not. It's a stairwell.
Nando, you did see this episode, correct?
I did what?
You did watch the episode, right?
Yes, I did watch the episode. Okay. That's why I'm on the phone.
We were just talking
This is the following, right?
Yes, this is the following. So Dua brought up a very interesting question. She was Dua's asking about the premeditation of Norman in order to, like, he's looking up the hotels. He wants to go see, he clearly wants to go see Caleb to do something. Then when he gets there, he's in full-blown Norma Bates mode. And the question being is, how much of that do you think is a disconnect, and how much of that do you think is, you know, is premeditated? And it seems that I was saying both things, in my opinion, both things can be true. He wants to protect his mom. When he gets there, he, Norman Bates is out. What do you think?
Well, I mean, don't forget from season, this is the first time we're seeing him in season two take on his mom's persona. We saw bits and pieces of it in season one.
Right.
But a lot of where that came from was we saw, like, his mom pretty much berating him in these dream sequences, I believe, in season one, or yelling at him. So it's almost like his mom egging him on. He ends up taking his mom's persona because he still is not, it is a disconnect, because I don't think he knows how deadly he is. And it's almost like he has to take this alternate persona to really get himself angry enough to do these things. And I think what makes it even funny is he was taking on his mom's persona, but Caleb still kind of kicked his butt a little bit.
Kind of.
You know? So which still means, well, he did. He pretty much did. I mean, he pushed him aside and kicked him in the gut and walked out. But yeah, it was kind of a funny moment, actually. You know, you see this Norman Bates, you know, who you know is going to be the killer from the Psycho movie.
Mm-hmm.
And yet you see him, you know, with a crowbar. He definitely seems to have some advantage. And yet he gets pushed aside, just shoved aside. And I'd like treat it like, well, I don't want to say treat it like he was nothing. He was still a threat, but definitely not strong enough to defeat Caleb.
I would love to have been a fly on the wall during the shooting of that scene. I cannot imagine how many things that the actor playing Caleb wanted to toss out there and had to just step on. Like, you know, because it's a carefully written scene, but how many, like, what the F's? I mean, how many do you think would have been, like, flowing from you in that moment if you're just, like, working the scene, and here's this kid just screaming about being raped, right, you know, and you did this to me, you were supposed to protect me, how could you, and the whole, like, what the F is wrong with you? And the violence of it and the,
I mean, we still don't know 100%. I mean, according to Caleb, we don't know if he really did rape even Norma. So to have a kid all of a sudden come in here randomly and scream those things, it's not like he can really connect the dots.
Well, I mean, we're not really going linear here. We're kind of jumping around. So let's stick with this for a second. What do we think about, I mean, who do we believe here? I mean, you know, and the actor is Kenny Johnson, Joe.
Thank you.
He's a great actor.
Officer Curtis Lemensky. Lem from The Shield.
He's also Sons of Anarchy.
Oh, that's right. He's Sons of Anarchy and also from The Shield.
Poor Lem. Uh-huh.
Yeah. He's great. So what do we think? Because we have a lot of evidence. So what we know is something happened. We know something happened to both these kids when they were young. I mean, Caleb seemed to say that they were abused by their father, who maybe made them do things. And then, you know, obviously we know what Norma says. Norma says that she was abused by him.
Mm-hmm.
And then he says that he's not the father, he's the father of someone else. But then she seemed to admit to Dylan that that Caleb is the father, and she used that pregnancy to go run off with this other guy. I don't know what is true, but I do. My theory is that a very, very disturbing, evil household, and maybe it was the parents or the father that forced them to do stuff to each other.
Yeah.
But I don't know that it was him doing that to her on purpose.
I think that
I was thinking the same thing.
Yeah, I think Dylan probably... Oh, it's all right. Go ahead.
No, that's it. I think you do the same thing.
Yeah, I think Dylan really hit the nail on the head. And with his prediction of, you know, she got pregnant by her brother and then had the kid and got married to get out of the house.
Sure.
I do believe that at least Norma believes that she was raped. The scene when she was in the car outside of the hotel, which was an amazing scene, by the way, outside of the hotel. And she's in the car trying to get up the courage to go in and talk to and confront Caleb. And she couldn't do it. She's by herself in that emotion. Definitely conveys that she has terrible memories and believes it.
Right.
I think perhaps maybe Caleb just remembers it differently.
Right.
Or what the reality is, because I know that Norma has a history of kind of distorting reality.
And not to mention that Caleb's older. So, I mean, Caleb was older. And also, if Caleb is abused as a 16 or 17-year-old older, you know, brother, and Norma is, you know, 11, 12, 13, 14, you know, then, I mean, maybe her, I mean, I can only imagine how that would work, how would be. But whatever's going down in this Bates household, I mean, that's an effed up gene pool. I got to. That's a long line of effed up Bates sis.
So do you think? And it's funny that the one that is, you know, that Dylan seems to be the most normal out of all of them.
Yeah.
And he's the one that's actually an inbred.
Right. Well, maybe because like the bad genes sort of bounced off each other and made somebody normal.
Well, let me ask you this. Now we're talking about it. I mean, do you think Dylan's going to become a mess now? I mean, I think you know, I think he's kind of identified himself as like, I am not Norma and Norman. I am. They're over there in their own Norman little world, and they're creepy and weird. But I'm over here, and I'm a normal person, and I do normal stuff, and I go to my job, and I take care of my business, and I'm a
my
decent
job
guy.
As a weed enforcer.
Whatever.
Yeah. I'm going to do my normal, everyday
well,
job.
Hey,
person,
you, okay,
and,
punch the clock. You understand what I'm saying. But he's, of that family, he is far and away the most normal.
Sure.
And I think that now that he finds out that he is a product of incest, and father's not who we thought he was, and turns out your uncle is your father, and born of a rape, used to get out of the house. I mean, is that going to F with his idea of who he is, and is that going to have him doing some silly stuff that he ought not to be doing or wouldn't have done before because his idea of himself has changed?
I mean, I don't know. We saw what happened at the end of that. There was that, you know, really emotional confession, you know, from Norma, and that emotional exchange. And I thought that they would have some sort of reconciliation, but it ended with Dylan busting out of there. Like,
give the guy some space.
Sure.
To, like, give him some time. He did. I mean, I loved that they're really realistic with, you know, what would somebody do? He went out and he got wasted.
Yeah.
Because
yeah.
How are you going to deal with that information? Just give him a night.
It's like
you
Denver.
Know?
Yeah.
I think, you know, look, I know you're trying to say, Flippo, but I think he's going to have to really go off a major deep end to really beat out the crazy in that family.
Well, let me.
I think he might regress. He might regress into something. Maybe he'll just throw himself more into the business and be more of a soldier and do some, you know, some things that he ordinarily wouldn't do. But I don't think this is going to make him any. You know, I hate to use the word crazy. Someone already commented on throwing away crazy, but you know, make him any more. Incapable of doing anything irrational. I still think he's the most rational.
I got you. I don't suspect that he's going to start wearing Norma's clothes and going to hotel rooms to scream at people. But I do expect that in the next few weeks, as this turf war escalates, and as you know, there's going to be opportunities for him to deviate from the things that he's kind of decided he kind of believes, or at least it gives the impression, the show gives the impression that Dylan has a moral center, and I think that
If anything, he might look for another family, and that family might be the business. The family, you know, one of the two families in the town.
Well,
I just see him definitely doing that.
I got that. I agree with you on that. I just wonder if there isn't going to be a sense. I think sometimes people they kind of go, well, you know what? I'm good enough that I don't have to do this, or I'm good enough that I won't do this. And I wonder if he's going to get to the place now where he's just going to kind of value himself less and start doing more things with the business that he wouldn't have done before.
Well, you know. Something that's a little interesting, at the very, very beginning, I was reminded of something that I forgot they had revealed. Dylan knows exactly what happened with Norman and his dad. And so I had forgotten that until the scene where he wakes up drunk in the hotel room number 4, by the way. Did you guys catch that?
I saw that, yeah.
He wakes up hungover in the hotel room, just completely, you know, deflated by Norma. And there's an interesting shift now in Norma and Dylan's relationship. Now, Norman, you noticed that she was motherly to him for the first time when he was passed out. She covered him with a blanket, really kind of, you know, I don't know if it was out of guilt. He then woke up and was talking to Norman and mentioned, you know, maybe there's something that Norma isn't telling you. Maybe she's not telling you everything. And he had that moment where he could have revealed everything out of spite to Norman, and he still didn't. So he still has those morals.
First of all, Norma should be concerned anytime anyone in her family blacks out. So I definitely do that.
I mean, that's not a good look. Anybody with the last name Bates knows, blacks out.
The truth of Dylan knows is really the truth from Norma.
Yeah.
So,
right.
I mean, so we don't know 100% if Dylan knows the exact truth.
Yeah.
So there's still something to be said for that.
Well, here's some real tricky territory that we just have to talk about, because this is sort of like, you know, this is what I'm about to say is what the show seems to be saying, and I've read this multiple times on the internets as well. But, you know, Norman's blackouts and Norman's freakouts seem to be triggered by some sort of like sexual arousal, and then this is what we're reading. So whenever they show him like about to do his thing, he's always thinking about, like, you know, like even when he's going to, when he's talking about, when they visualize it, when she's talking about, like, and then he, you know, I was raped and he did this. Those visions he had in his head of those happening, it was a weird
incredibly vivid.
Yeah. Very vivid, but they were like, I mean, you know, I think that, like, there's this thing of, like, guilt and sex and things and
shame.
I think that shame and all these things that come up. And I think that those, it's the same thing would happen with good old Mrs. Watson.
Watson, yeah, with scenes.
All the same thing that happened. Every time Norman is about to black out and do something, you know, Norman-ish, like, it has to do with these sort of flashbacks. And I think that this was the thing that pushed him over the edge, especially given what we know. And this is, everyone's going to tell me, Joe's obsessed with incest. But I'm telling you, especially, you know, this relationship that he has with his mother. And I think that, you know, this is not my theory. This is just the theory. I think that this is, I just read this again. I'm like, oh, yeah, so I keep reading. But
do you think
I don't know.
It's evolving to that, though? Because I don't see it being consistent when he killed his father.
No, I think it's definitely evolving to that.
Killed dad out of just straight desire to protect Norma, right?
Correct.
There was no sex involved
in
that.
There was no sex involved in that.
Well, we could say it was an emotional response. We could say it was a very heavily emotional response, because obviously for a teenage boy, getting sexually aroused can be a very emotional experience.
Well, and also
we can.
I feel like a lot of things with Norman having to do with his mother is sexual to Norman. I mean, did you see the way that he was looking at her when she went on that date?
At
the door?
Yeah.
Like, very...
It's like every single episode, someone walks in on Norma getting changed. When is she going to lock that damn door? She wants one of those two brothers to walk in on her every single freaking time she's getting ready for a date or something.
Yep. Yeah, that's hilarious.
I don't know. I will see where this thing with Norma goes, but thank God Cody was there to save him. Good old Cody.
She's a little spitfire.
She was there, and she was the one who actually initially encouraged him. Let's go over there and do something. Then he chickened out, and then she was there to find him still in the trance and sort of help him walk back and, you know, back to the place.
Yeah, but I still don't believe that she really helped him. I don't know that she went on this caper. I'm not completely concerned.
You think that it may be like
I think that
Cody's
afterwards she went and picked him up from the...
She could have went and picked him up, but I don't think that she was necessarily there to drive him the first time. I think that maybe it was his own conscience. I just feel like she was saying way too many things that were already in his head.
That's interesting.
I don't know. I'm just... they'll have that conversation like, you know, we went to the hotel and she'd be like, what are you talking about? I could be wrong, but it was just too odd to me. Plus, I don't like that Cody is, you know, taking over Emma's spot with all these capers. Emma's like out of the caper loop now.
I love
capers. Yeah, no capers for Emma. Emma's too busy with my man Gunner.
Yeah,
that's his name.
That's his name,
Gunner. Yeah, who's leaning on the door like, if we would have did it, you'd have known it. puka shells.
Listen, Capers for Emma is the name of my new band. Yeah. I'm going to start it.
No Capers for Emma?
As soon as I learn how to play an instrument and sing, I'm going to start a band, and it's going to be called No Capers for Emma.
I want to read.
I would go see it.
I just found this bit that confirms what I'm saying. I just want to read this. It says here, sexual arousal may be a trigger for Norman's more aggressive tendencies, almost like foreplay. As Norman waits for his uncle, he envisions a sexual encounter between his mother and her brother, what it might have looked like. Instead of it being violent and dark, his version is highly erotic and sensual. His mother's confession runs through his head like a soundtrack. Mm. His fantasy becomes increasingly more intense. I mean, that sounds about right to me. I don't know.
It's pretty twisted up.
Well,
makes sense with the flashback.
We're talking about a guy who blacks out and pretends he's his mother.
Yeah. But what about when he had sex with Bradley? Like, he didn't black out there. He remembers that.
Yeah. I don't know, man.
Well,
I think it's maybe evolving. We'll see. I don't know.
We need to get Dr. Drew on this show. Dr. Drew will break it all down.
We'll see. I just want to keep. We'll keep an eye on that because I think that's kind of where this thing seems to be going. But anyway, we digress. So I want to jump back and talk a little bit about. Let's get into the town. I want to talk a little bit about Romero and your boy Zane.
Oh,
such a bummer.
Yeah, you know, we're gonna have Sheriff Romero on the show here. Very, very soon here, maybe even next week, and we can ask him about it. But
I love that Romero is going to get up on Zane and just in him. I think that's where that's going to have to go.
What do you think is going to happen?
He burned his house down.
No, but what do you think is going to happen now? Because the first thing that I thought was this is a direct F you to Romero, and then I'm thinking, how many people does Romero have? Deputy Shelby is dead.
Yeah.
How many people are on the police force? How much force does he have to push back on this?
It's not a matter of. It's not just a matter of the police department. It's a matter of Zane effing with the entire ecosystem. The ecosystem is built like we are the families that control this trade, and Sheriff Romero keeps the peace.
He's the nucleus in the center of this.
Exactly.
Atom that's sort of keeping everything.
Rotating.
It's not so much an FU to Romero. It's a challenge to Romero.
It's a challenge to the whole system.
He's a law. Romero's saying he's a law, but don't forget it's these two families apparently that run the weed business that are apparently putting all the money into this town.
Mm-hmm.
And in order for Romero to go for Zane, he's going to have to possibly go over his head and just get permission to or something. That's what I'm thinking, and that's why Zane's coming from a place of you want to mess with me, huh? Let's see what happens.
But you got to keep in mind the most important thing to anybody in any kind of criminal enterprise, whether it's weed, whether it's drugs, whether it's you're running girls or you're running bottles of booze in the 20s, the most important thing is to make money and keep business going. And so when someone's disruptive like Zane is being, they're on the outs.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Zane is effing with someone's profits eventually.
Yeah.
And so they're going to kill him out. They're going to have to because there's two things going on. Number one, he's screwing with the system. Number two, he's going to if he is allowed to screw with it and then win, he's going to have too much clout and he's going to be in a position to take over.
And here's the thing, and like you said, it's the larger ecosystem at play, right? So you have this town and the counties. The town is known for this giant weed business. You know, two families or two sects control the weed business. Like, it helps the town. It helps everyone's involved in it. It's Sheriff Romero's job to sort of keep the peace and make sure everything's running properly. So if this is a rogue dude running around causing trouble, killing people, being an a-hole.
Can't have it.
Like, Romero gets in his grill and, like, look, you forget, this is my town.
Yeah.
Don't mess with me. No one messes with me. And that stare down he did, I mean, that was a good mad dog stare down. And Zane
burned down his house.
Zane's like, okay, bro.
So do you think he's just going to kill him? Is that what you...
Oh, that's what I'd like for him to do.
We had some cool previews of some, looks like some confrontational stuff happening, but I don't know. I mean, we'll see how that plays out.
I'd like him to kill him rough. You burned down his house.
Yeah.
That is not okay.
That's like spitting in a man's face.
Yeah. That's worse than that. That's burning down his house.
You've killed people for much less.
I have, several times.
What was... Yeah.
Look out, Nando. I'm coming to that stairwell.
What was in the previews? I missed those previews.
There was just a lot of, like, Romero threatening and, like, you know... You mess with the wrong guy, kind of the stuff, and then a lot of weird people being run over by trucks, and I think Zane got hit by a truck, so we don't know if that was Romero, and there's just a lot of stuff in the previews that didn't look like it was going to go well for him, and it looked like Nestor was on the. I'm sorry, Sheriff Romero.
I do want to say that we did have Miss Watson on the show, and then later in the season she died, so I hope the same does not happen with Romero.
Oh, that's a good point. Look at you, Angel.
Angel of death. Mr. Carbonell will be on the show, and he'll be sitting right there on that couch if you're watching on YouTube. And I promise you that he will not die
Team America, World Police. I swear to you, I'll never die.
So yeah. So anyway, I love that sequence. He did burn down his house. Mm-hmm. So what about what's going on here? I want to also talk about George. George and Norma. Is that his name? George is the dating guy.
Oh yeah. Michael Vartan.
Michael Vartan
from Alias.
Yes, of course.
Yeah.
What do we think of George?
He's all right.
He's all right? You don't think he's dreamy and lovely?
I don't.
Really?
I don't. I think he's, I don't know.
A little milky for you, a little milky white.
He's just a little, he's not.
White toast?
First of all, there was an interesting interview that.
Vanilla pudding.
tapioca. He just seems like he's trying a little bit too hard, and he just seems like, I need to see a little bit more from him.
It seems the opposite. It seems like that he is trying to get in there, but he's also very much like trying to be respectful of her space. And I mean, I guess he's doing, I don't know. I mean, I don't know much about women, but like, it seems like he's doing a pretty good job.
Yeah, I just think it's too soon to tell. It's just way too soon to tell.
No, he didn't strike you. Now, here's what I'm asking you. This is just as a guy. So he seemed very polite, very respectful, and he picked her up on time, and he wore a nice suit, and he took her to a nice meal, and he defended her at dinner when Philip, is that?
Yes.
Or no. Paul? No, Peter. What's the other guy's name? What's Christine's husband's name?
I don't know.
Who was talking about the bypass?
I think it was Peter. Peter.
Was talking about how the bypass can destroy your little business and, all casual about it. I thought he was very nice.
He's not bad. Now, I'm not talking about him as a character at all or what I would think about him personally dating him. I'm talking about what the future is for him and Norma.
Oh, I see. Because so you're saying there is no future for him and Norma?
No, not at all. I don't think, first of all, I don't ever think.
Norma's story is ultimately a tragic story. So
exactly.
I'm sure it's not going to end up well.
So, first of all, all of the men in her life, just it never ends well. And the one man that it always kind of like, there's all this perseverance and it always ends well is her son. And there's such a strong tie there that nothing will get in the way of that.
So is George another one of those side streets that she could have turned down that would have led to a beautiful life that she just kept driving right past?
George represents the life that she wants, how she always wants to be normal.
That makes sense.
She wants to, she always cooks and bakes and she wants to do a play and she wants to be with George and have kids, and that will never happen.
This is sort of the weird sort of almost Greek tragedy or Shakespearean tragedy about the Bates themselves. I mean, poor Norman is a kid who longs to be in love and have be with girls and do all these things, but he can't do any of that stuff because he's so
because he kills every time he gets aroused.
There's that small bit, but just every time he tries to have a relationship or be interested in a girl, his mom is there and he feels like he has to take care of his mom first, and his first priority as a life is to make his mother happy and keep her safe and happy. Mm-hmm. But he's also conflicted by that because he resents her for it because he wants to be out doing that stuff. And it's the same thing with Norma really wants to be out there and going on dates with George and being a normal person, but she has to go and take care of Norman and make sure the house is okay, make sure the motel is okay.
Make sure that he doesn't black out and do anything terrible.
Exactly, or make sure that he doesn't go out with any girls.
Or find out that he blacks out and does terrible things.
And Norman's got to make sure that she's not going out with any strange men. What time are you going to be home, mother?
Yeah.
Like, it's the same, it's that weird jealousy thing.
They're way too codependent to have any other relationship.
And it wouldn't be any fun to watch if there weren't glimpses that you could have something better. If it was just a loser fest, it would just be a misery. But if you keep adding glimpses of like this could be, and then we kill it, it's so much more entertaining.
Nando, what do you think?
It's terrible, but that's the truth.
Crushing the dreams over and over again.
Did you bring your hopes up again? Smash them.
Here's a little dose of reality for you, if you will.
Nando, what do you think of the whole George Norma situation?
Well, I think the one thing we also have to remember too about Norma is last season when she had a relationship with a deputy. He started out as super Mr. Nice Guy, and nothing seemed to be wrong with him. And he ended up being the one calling all the shots.
Yep, that's true.
With everything that was going on season one. I'm not saying that's George, but I'm just saying that, I remember, I think Dewar, one of you guys said it last week. That,
it was me.
At the party, it was probably you. at the party, that perhaps Christine, they had an agenda just bringing her there.
Mm-hmm.
And it was to meet up with that, with the head of the family, with, I think it was Peter, his name is, like you said, Joe. And perhaps George is really part of that. And it's just this whole little ploy, divorced man, awkward dater, wants to kind of be kind and whatever, and work her good graces for whatever reason. So there's still that possibility, too.
What do we make of... Go ahead.
Well, everything yeah. having to do with that part of the world just seems a little bit unreal.
Right.
Everything is like, this is the beautiful white pine and everything, and then this is the seedy underbelly of the weed world and everything. Like, it's just, it's too black and white. They contrast too much. This just doesn't seem real to me.
Yeah.
So when you're asking me what I think of him, I don't buy it.
Right.
I'm waiting for the other shoe to drop.
These guys are making money. These guys are probably making money off the weed. They're living the way they're living because of the industry.
Mm-hmm.
So if there's anything at all that Norma can do that may either hurt them
mm-hmm.
or help them, I think that might be their intention. That might be their priority over having poor divorced George find love again.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter if they're all poor, you know, if they're half the family's in jail and the rest of them are living, you know, in dirt.
Sure.
And George is happy. So I think ultimately when the lines are drawn, you know, George is going to go with his family.
Yeah. And I think it's funny that Christine dropped by her house. Like when you tell a friend that you know, today's not the day. I'm not really feeling well. I don't want to go out. Thanks again. Call it like, do you go over to their house and go, no.
Yeah.
You're going out.
This is my question. Well, what do we make of Christine? Because she seems awful persistent.
I got to toss this out there. I got to toss it out. My wife has a couple friends that are that crazy.
Okay.
So... They do exist,
right?
And I'm not going to say anybody's name.
Which ones?
But
do that, I know them?
No, right. But that's real. There are ladies who are crazy enough to be right. like, you didn't mean that. I'm outside.
Right.
Like that's I'm
put
here.
Put your
to,
shoes on.
Right, we're going.
Sure.
I'm here to do your hair. What? Right. I didn't. But that's a thing. That is a thing.
I'm kind of that guy.
Joe braids my hair all the time.
Yeah. Was that Nando? I'm sorry.
I think it might be a girl thing, not a guy thing. I can't see guys doing that.
I do it.
I don't know if you were able to watch the podcast last week when you
he was
it,
in Denver.
Braswell getting drunk.
He was in Denver.
I saw.
I do not trust Christine. I definitely think that she has an agenda, and I also think that she Neil was is his name Neil Miss Watson's father.
Yeah.
He was at the party that she held.
Right.
So there is some connection
there's
some
there. Sort of wider agenda. And mm-hmm. then there was that, you know, Norma did have that conversation with him, mm-hmm. you know, and then they're going to work together.
And he saw her at that meeting.
And maybe it's something to do with the bypass. Maybe this is all some level of them sort of trying to gain control of the hotel or bulldoze the motel.
That could be it too, yeah.
Because she's standing in the way. Maybe you can, you know, catch more.
They're going to make her an offer.
What's the expression?
More flies with honey than with vinegar?
Something like that. Yeah, that's the one.
There's flies, there's vinegar, and there's honey. I'm not sure what the order is, but I think that's
flies
it.
Flies like honey? I don't know how that works.
Oh,
you
all
catch
right.
more flies
well, you know,
with honey?
With the bypass vinegar. Road, with the bypass road going some other part of town, I mean, maybe the motel is a hot property.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I'm beginning to believe that the Bates Motel is a hotter property than even Norma believes. And so this is rather than. And, you know, I think this is a way for them to get to her and maybe try to get that property going. You know, the Bates Motel seems to be kind of booming, though. They've got kids bumping around there. They seem to be always booked. It seems like a happening place for a little dusty.
Except room number four.
Yeah, that annoying woman. Can you please clean up the guy who threw up and passed out in the car?
And the poor kids.
You know, stuff like that.
I love that Dylan scene, by the way, when he's just like puke on the car, on the shirt. He parked, though. Didn't he park still, like, in the spot?
Yeah.
He made it.
He made it in the spot, but he just didn't make it out of the car.
That's close enough.
Famous last words of a true partier. He made it.
Yeah.
He's in. You know, I thought that scene with Emma was really great when she was pulling out of the car. Because the way they shot that was terrific. Because if you ever tried to muscle a full-blown drunk mess, that is absolutely how it goes. And they just like
are you talking to me?
I'm not. No, he's huge. That's 260 pounds of man to move. That's no fun at all.
260 pounds.
250, 240, 230,
248, 250. I said it. That oxygen tank. She would just cart that around on its wheels. Now she's just picking it up like it's a freaking feather and just dragging it, throwing it all over the place. It's
yeah.
Yeah.
Sooner or later, she's just going to start throwing that thing in front of her.
Yeah, you know, it's really funny because right before this episode, I was just thinking they haven't really been talking about her sickness, or they haven't shown her being sick. Last episode, she was like frolicking on the beach,
right?
You know, but this episode, she did have a coughing fit.
Yeah.
So to just remind you, at least, you know, stay in character. You're sick. Don't forget.
Well, there's also the bit
and we saw her for the first time without that apparatus when she woke up. I think that was the first time we've ever seen her without it on.
Begged the producers and writers to say, give me one shot. Yeah.
Come on now. You know, like, I've been working out. I've been hitting the gym. I look good.
I can be in a bra with no thing on.
Get me
just
on
one,
there.
One
Come
thing.
On now.
But also,
I am hot. Let me be hot.
It reminded us that, you know, there is a ticking clock on Emma. So she's very much trying to get some.
Well, that's what we talked about last week. Yeah, yeah. That was the whole thing that the clock is ticking, man.
So she needs to, you know.
She's trying to lose some virginity there.
Lose some virginity to lose to old Gunner. I mean, his name is, man.
He
looks like a Gunner.
She loses it.
Yes, he looks like a Gunner. And
he does.
Zane looks like a Zane.
Yeah.
You know, so like I like
good job.
Yeah. Gunner. So you know, we don't trust Christine. We think there's a larger thing at work. And we don't know how we feel about Michael Vartan.
Yeah.
You're so
I wouldn't be sad. You are
emphatically eh.
I mean, it could be that.
You could
be
emphatically, you are.
Sicking, you know, George, you know, sicking him on her.
Well, you know what's interesting? It's like, I see zero chemistry between them. And I know that they write this show so well, and they always plan everything out so well, that right. If I don't see any chemistry between them, I don't think it's going to go very far.
Right.
There's going to, you know, and I could be wrong. I don't know. But, yeah, there's just something, you know, I loved him in Alias, but,
yeah.
You know.
Well, the last thing we should touch on is the Norman, you know, we touched on a little bit, but this is the Norman Cody thing. I mean, you know, how she kind of came back and wrote her name on the arm. And she seemed
was pissed that he didn't show up.
She seemed very,
oh, that was
very
deep,
aggressive.
Man.
Like, was there
but
a
you know
scene
what?
That we missed?
Yeah,
that
yeah.
He didn't
show up to paint props.
Yeah. I know, but that was, it's not like, because you would think that they've been friends for a long, long time.
That's how she rolls. Don't F with Cody.
I know.
I bought it completely. That made a lot of sense
too.
To me.
Me too. Yeah. Maybe because
we've definitely effed up and been chewed out by brand new friends.
Did you see the way that Emma responded though? Because Emma knows her, and I don't think that Emma likes her.
Right. You're a friend of Cody. Your mom's
kicked out of our school.
Like
yeah. Because she left. She got kicked out, or she
dropped
out.
Dropped out.
Dropped out.
Yeah, dropped out.
So
your mom's not gonna like that.
Hanging out with that high school dropout.
Now Gunner, on the other hand.
Good.
Bad chicken. Puka shell.
Oh man, double rainbow, double puka shell.
It's a double rainbow.
All right, so let's deal a little more with Dylan and sort of where he sits in this whole thing, because he's had a large transformation. I mean, like, we talked about how what effect this may have on Dylan, mm-hmm. if he's going to go seek some family elsewhere, if he's going to stay where he's at. I mean, whoa.
I think he's going to let this lie. I think that, like Nando said earlier, I think he's going to kind of throw himself into his work, become really dedicated with his work. And do we know if Caleb comes back next episode,
well,
or is he gone?
He's not in the previews, but I mean, I don't know. I mean, I like the fact that they didn't kill him, and the fact that he's still out there, because we still mm-hmm. need answers.
Yeah.
Like, we still need answers to the mystery, because there's an origin story back there. We need the Norma, the full Norma origin story.
We need
you know?
The truth, man.
And by the way, I want to break my arm, patting myself on the back again, because there seems to be one guy.
One guy.
One guy.
One man.
Back in season one.
In season one.
Who said, maybe Dylan, maybe, you know, Norma is, you know, the brother, sister, Dylan's a product
he
of incest.
He knew that there was incest.
And everyone
he
went,
knew about the chocolate jar.
You're an idiot, Braswell. Why would that happen? That's gross. You're dumb. So cut to season two.
A man before his
I
time.
I don't remember saying that.
I heard you say that.
I like that there was all of this, like, we have like, what are those things when you
pitch
go?
Pitchforks
yeah.
and torches. Braswell must I kill the beast.
Joe's persecution complex runs deep.
Yeah.
You remember, I was at the edge of the cliff, and you were throwing rocks, and then there was a lightning bolt.
I said, but guys.
And I said, I have these
anyway.
10 commandments.
So that all. So I just want to, I want to feel somewhat vindicated in that. Like, check the logs, man. Check the logs. It's all on iTunes and YouTube. Check the logs.
Don't make him break his arm patting his own back.
I'm just saying. I'm just trying to, you know, be cool. But, yeah, so that, so th- th- that's true. So I don't know. I don't know what's going to be coming. I like the fact that Caleb's out there because I do want to get the answers, the definitive answers.
Ooh, I like that you said that he's out there. Like you don't know where he is. Well, he can pop up anytime.
And he seemed to be pretty genuine and happy in the whole fishing and the thing. And he was doing this not thinking that Dylan was his son. He was just like, yep, you're a swell kid, and you're my nephew, and come on, kid, let's go fishing, and you know, oh, thanks for the money. But he gave him the money back, and I don't know what to make of that either. What the hell do you make of Caleb?
That was a genius move, because it can either be like a grade A Bates manipulation like Norma does all the time.
Man.
Or it cannot, either way, it was a great move, because it earned, you know, it negated the fact that, I don't know. I think that there's, I don't know.
What do you make of Caleb? That's a hot take, Dua, by the way.
Thanks. That's what I was talking about.
Hot takes, Dua Casey. Nando, what do you make of Caleb?
I get out of control.
With Dua. I kind of agree with Dua's hot take.
How can you agree with Dua? She didn't say anything.
But
I just feel that giving money back is actually something that's unexpected. And if anything, it would have Caleb doubting what Norma says. And Dylan doubting what Norma says. And Dylan might even say, hey, you know what? Here's the money. I really believe you now.
Is that what you said?
That's what I said. That's right. Thank you.
All right. So what's left? Yeah. What's out here? Like, to be, I mean, in this season one, what's to be resolved here?
Go ahead. We did not talk about Cody picking up Norman. Where's Cody's brain as she's driving Norman, who is catatonic, back home?
Yeah.
I mean, because now it's not, I mean, we know that Emma knows that he's not quite right.
Right.
And we know that Norma knows that he's a mess, and we know that Dylan knows that he's a little bit of a mess, but now Cody, who's a relative outsider, mm-hmm, knows, like, he is a full-blown whack job. I mean, like, he is standing catatonic in the window. Only reason he gets picked up is because there's a phone number on his arm.
Mm-hmm. For an hour.
Yes. Like, he's got a tag, like, if this person is found, call this number.
Did you call the cops? She kind of knew what to do. Did you call the cops? No. Good.
Yeah.
Well, I think that she seemed, I think that this is right up her alley.
Yeah.
I don't think that she seemed shocked at all. Yeah,
a bad girl.
What did she say at the end? I'm trying to think of what she said right at the end. She's like, everything will be all right. We're going to be okay. She said something.
What's going on what's going on that stairwell, Mando?
Yeah, Mariachi's coming in there. What do you got going?
He's like sitting on the stairs in the corner?
I'm outside of the stairwell. It's the noisiest outside I've ever met. Oh, here we go.
You know, how it is in Hollyweird.
Yes, it's Hollyweird.
Anyway, so go ahead. Anyway. Do what you were saying. I'm sorry.
Oh, I just, you know, I think that this is not, I think that Cody has a story of her own that they'll probably be revealed later. So I don't think that this is, you know, probably a big deal. If this actually happened and he said, I need to protect my mother, I don't like this guy. And she said, well, let's go get a crowbar and scare the crap out of him.
Yeah.
You know, she probably figures that that's what he did. And now he's, you know, trying to figure out how to deal with it.
She knew who she was dealing with, much like Hannibal. If you knew who you're dealing with, you don't give Norman Bates a crowbar and be like, hey, check this out.
Want to play with the stick?
Let's go see what we can do with this crowbar. Norman Bates.
Let's go play in traffic.
Future psycho killer. So we have a lot. So in season two here, there seems to be a lot to be resolved. We have multiple loose ends and storylines. We obviously have the weed, the Bradley murder, the murder of Gil. Mm-hmm. You know, that has to be resolved in somewhere. Bradley's gone. Will she come back? Who knows? We have the retaliation, the war started between two families that Romero is in the center of.
Yeah.
We'll see how that whole thing plays out. We have this new friendship between Miss Watson's father and Norma. That seems to be something there. We have to figure out what the hell Christine's up to, mm-hmm, and if that whole thing with George is real. There's that. What's going to happen with Dylan? Is he going to go off the rails and is he going to come back to Earth and be okay?
He'll be okay.
His dad or his uncle or both is out there. He may boomerang back in town. What's going to happen there? What is the true origin of all this stuff what did happen to Norma when she was young? Mm-hmm. Hopefully we'll figure that out. And we saw the first real psychotic break mid-season from Norman. Will there be more of those, and will Norman have the kill someone? This is a lot that we will have to, you know, and how will poor Cody factor in this?
I feel like you just did the best Batman episode wrap up
right.
for the next episode.
Will the Penguin?
Will Batman make it out alive?
Stay tuned, Bat. I don't know.
You lined it up, man. You've got them all lined up.
Yeah, same Bates time, same Bates channel. Oh, see what I did there?
Hey, now.
Anyway.
Not the same time, though. Change
this,
time.
But so there's a lot. I mean, we've really, my point is that, like, we really, there's a lot of story happening here in season two. A lot of story. Mm-hmm. So, and then they're not going to just leave it dangling out there. So, I feel like we're in the middle point here of the story. So, we're going to have to bring it all home. So, I'm really excited to see how this stuff plays out because we have a lot going on.
Well, and it's a wonderful show. Carlton Cuse fashion, a lot of times they won't bring it on home. Sometimes they'll just kind of leave it open-ended and they can always come back to it, as sure they did with mean. Lost.
Well, and Caleb, you know, as well. Go ahead. Well, I think we have news and gossips, right?
We got some news and gossip? TV news.
Did you see anything? I mean, I saw something in that article, but I didn't, you know, I was just going to save everything for predictions, personally.
Okay, well, what did you take away from the Vera Farmiga interview that we read online? Anything?
You know what? It's on, what's that website called?
It's on TV Equals.
Yeah, it is an interview. .com. It's an interview with Vera Farmiga. She talks about kind of like Norma's relationships with men. And how she, you know, really will never be able to have a relationship with a man because of her previous relationships with men, and kind of, you know, how she is, there is an interesting line how she is like in always like in a desperate state of maternity is how she describes.
Ooh, I like that.
Love
yeah,
that.
She's always like in this desperate state of maternity.
Jinx.
You can catch that interview on
TVEquals.com.
TVEquals.com, Vera Farmiga.
Desperate state of maternity.
That's dope. Mm-hmm.
What
right?
a brilliant way to put that.
Who said that?
Vera Farmiga.
Yeah, I know. She's smart.
I may have mentioned I'm a big fan.
All right. Just real quick to some of our listeners and fans out there. MDS 1978, Dr. Lee 2, lounge blogger Dylan Bruce, John Gabriel, Alex Jammer Alex.
Alex Jammer Alex.
I think that's right. Joseph Bosa, Crimson King. Thank you all for listening. That's just a few of you. Thank you for listening and watching. And please continue to watch and rate us on iTunes and download us. Rate us and comment and do all those lovely things because, Joe.
We love fives.
We love fives.
But thank you. Let's jump into some predictions.
And now, your AfterBuzz TV predictions.
Nando Vell, what do you predict?
I'm gonna say Bradley's coming back, and now that Dylan's all messed up with this whole, you know, is he a product of incest or not? I think all the rules about his brother Scott dipped are off. I think I see Bradley and Dylan getting together.
Ooh, that's interesting.
Oh,
why is he mad at Norman? Because he thinks that Norman knew?
No, what he's saying is that
I think he's just separating himself from the family. So, you know.
All right.
Well, he does think Norman knew, by the way. He does. I don't know. Huh. I like that one. That's a good one, man.
Great one.
Yeah.
Kind of stole it from me a little bit.
Oh, he didn't steal
he
that.
He did too.
Dua?
So I have two predictions. Mm-hmm. My first prediction is that Ramiro is now going to bide his time and partner up with Neil. He's going to partner up with the opposing side. Neil was Miss Watson's
dad.
He's going to partner up with that side of the kind of weed thing to get back at Zane for burning down his house.
Okay.
And my second prediction is that I think that Norman is going to kill George.
Oh, okay.
Kill him off. I'm just kidding.
Wow. When you don't like somebody, you don't like them.
Flippo?
I'm a little mad at Nando because he basically, like I was saying earlier, I think that for Dylan, I think in the short term, he's definitely all bets are off because he's going to devalue himself a little bit. And all the things he wouldn't have done before, I think, are on the table now, including Bradley. I agree with you 100%. And as far as Sheriff Romero goes, I think he's going to, you're 100%, I agree with you, he's going to build a coalition, and I think he's going to whack Zane pretty good.
Yeah.
I hope he's
not just going to react. He's really going to plan and really get back because he already did that. He already tried to be like, hey, you're doing things the wrong way. This is my town. That's not how you do it. And how did Zane react? He's like a child. He's like, well, I'm going to burn down your house.
Yeah.
You know? So obviously he's got it. You know, he's got his smarts and he seems like a patient, smart guy. So I think that he should just.
Well, in the previews, he said something to the effect of, I'm not only going to... I forget what he said. It was something very threatening to him. But anyway, I think that we're going to find out a little more about Christine's motives next week. I think we're going to get to the bottom of this... So
next week I'll be right, is what you're saying.
Yeah, I mean, this whole overpass storyline is, there's something to it. And I think there's more, you know, I don't know, there's something about this overpass that has to do with the larger picture of the base. Motel, this property that's probably standing in the way of it, or probably, you know, something to do with something. I don't know what I'm saying.
Excellent. Well, we got it, yeah.
Nando, where can we find you?
You can find me on a stairwell in Hollywood, California. But it's not there. You can find me on Twitter at Nandovell, NANDOVEL, and on AfterBuzz usually for The Following and The Blacklist and Hannibal and Walking Dead and soon to be Orphan Black.
Oh, Orphan Black. Good show. Ooh. Dua Casey?
Dua Casey on the Twitters. DuaKaissi.
Salvatore Sanfilippo.
That was impressive. You can find me on the Twitters at Joe Flippo, JoeFlippo. And you can find me, my website is josephsanfilippo.com.
You can find me, Joe Braswell, on Twitter and Instagram at Joe K. Braswell. You can check out my pictures from Denver.
Getting debauched.
No.
Getting debauched in Denver.
No, yeah, it's my new movie. Thanks for joining us. Thanks for listening. Thanks for downloading. Thanks for watching. We'll see you next week for more Blacklist. I mean, more Base Motel.
So good to the end.
I'm sorry.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principal.